You're still live here on News Night. It's on Joy 99.7 FM. Now, former Finance Minister Ken Oforiatta is in more trouble tonight. Joy News has confirmed he is now also wanted by both the Economic and Organized Crimes Office and the National Investigations Bureau, NIB. Both agencies have opened active investigations into Oforiatta's dealings as a finance minister. More on that shortly from the Deputy Attorney General, Justice Sremsai, who has been speaking to Joy News in a PM Express interview to be aired later tonight. He first confirms the Attorney General's active assistance to the Special Prosecutor to track down, detain and extradite Ms. Oforiatta.
The OSP, as we know, is having difficulty the former minister, come to assist in investigations. That we all know for months. It gets to a point where we can't wait anymore because everything is time-bound. And so the OSP decide that they will seek international assistance. That's the Red Notice Alert. The Red Notice Alert is to tell everyone, all parties to the Interpol, treaty, that if you find this person in your jurisdiction, you can assist us to bring him back to face justice in Ghana. And assistance comes in so many forms. So you can arrest him and keep him temporarily. Beyond that, there must be a formal extradition process to have the person. So the fact that you're on the red notice is not automatic that there's an arrest warrant for which you'll be extradited. There must be a separate extradition process which will now assist, or wherever you are found, then we can trigger that for you to be arrested. You go through extradition proceedings in the country, and then you are shipped to Ghana to face prosecution. Mm. So in that respect, in the Office of Attorney General that helped with extradition, we assist all the agencies to deal with our foreign partners, how to arrest and bring us. So we are currently in the process of taking steps to have him extradited to Ghana, wherever he's found.
Because you have an extradition treaty with the U.S.?
Yes.
We have an understanding with the U.S. What does the law prescribe that you do in this specific case?
So first of all, the crime must be crime in both countries. So whatever we are asking him to come and face must be crime, not just in Ghana, but also in the country that he's found, And then we make a formal application to the law enforcement agency in the country. They will look for him. They will place him under arrest. They have their own extradition process in that country where he has every right to object to the extradition.
Have you made that request yet?
We are in the process.
Of making the request to the U.S.?
For
the law enforcement agencies in the U.S. to actively look
that
for
him. Yeah, not just U.S. because we are not, we have to be sure of where he is, and that I cannot disclose, but let's use U.S. as an example. So we would.
He himself has said this in the U.S. So.
Yeah, he has said a number of things that we have to confirm. So we can't take his word for that.
Well, he says both EOCO and the NIB are now both looking for the former finance minister. He gave the following details.
And once he comes, he will be arrested on arrival, and then he will be cautioned or charged with the offense. He will be given the right to defend himself like anyone. And the process goes on. Of course, there will be bail consideration, whether to be granted bail and what terms the bail should take, all will be considered. Just like any other trial that you've seen.
I mean, the accusation is that now that the AG's department is involved and all of you are political appointees, the OSP isn't. Well, he technically is, but his legal structure that sets him up says he's independent. But you are purely political appointees. And once you are involved, you have an interest just simply beyond justice. That also is a political interest there, and that's why you're more than willing to trigger the processes to have him looked for in the U.S., arrested, bundled into a plane and brought into Ghana.
We are familiar with the accusation that any prosecution that we commence in respect of politician, a politician tends to be political benefit to us. We are aware of that accusation, but I can tell you it is not true. Because you would, you see...
I mean, you raided his house before this happened.
You researched...
Well, you searched his house.
In accordance with the warrant.
According to the warrant. And the individual who led the search is somebody who had a bone, an axe to grind with him, Jackba. Well, he was seen in the CCTV footage. And then you now link back to OSP's actions, and now the Attorney General is involved. This must be a political conspiracy.
That is not correct, because if the Attorney General doesn't do it, who else can do it? There's no other agency.
Why can't the OSP do it himself?
Well, we can look at that and make laws to allow OSP to do some of these things. But like I said, the United States is not going to bring anyone here simply because an NDC appointee or the Attorney General wants the person here. There's a whole process for extradition that they will go through. And I don't think that even if we are if our courts are so amenable to just take the word of the Attorney General without scrutiny, I don't think that favor extends to United States, even if that is the case in Ghana. So I can assure you that we are here. The former Minister of Finance is currently in court, right? He is challenging a lot of things. That shows you that he himself has confidence in the judiciary and is willing to explore the options that are available to him. So why should we be more interested in political commentary? In any case, it is not only the OSP that is investigating the former finance minister.
Who else?
IOCO is doing the same. NIB is doing the same.
What is IOCO investigating?
I can't give you the details, but it's just enough for us to know that it is not only the OSP that is looking for the cooperation from the former Minister of Finance.
Because OSP's, IOCO is economic and organized crime.
Yeah.
They tend to look more with money laundering. Has it been involved in economic crime? Or suspected crime, economic crime?
The investigations would show. I mean, investigations means that there's a suspicion. And we are investigating to establish whether the suspicion is founded or is true or not. So if you ask me whether it's involved, I won't be able to speak to that. But I know there are investigations concerning him in the circles of IOCO.
IOCO and then NIB as well.
NIB as well.
Do you know what NIB is looking for?
I cannot disclose.
Is it a duplication of what the OSP is doing? Because OSP has published what they are looking for already. Is it a duplication of that?
No.
Completely separate?
Completely separate
from the OSP's put out.
So long as the Attorney General office is involved in the coordination, we will not allow one. It's waste of resources, and it's also abuse of the right of a suspect to be dragged before multiple investigating agencies in respect of the same thing. So we will not allow that to happen.
In other words, if it touches down in Ghana today, the OSP will not be the only institution that will be looking to speak to him.
They will not be the only institution. Other institutions will be interested in his assistance in the investigation.
You want to catch the full interview with Dr. Justice Sremsai on PM Express later tonight from 9 p.m. There's a lot more we spoke about, a lot more revelations in that you do not want to miss. Now, let's stay on the subject of state investigations, because we've also been hearing from the official government spokesperson, Felix Kwachi-Fosu, about Chairman Wuntumi, the Ashanti Regional Chairman of the MPP. And he's been disclosing to us that he is currently also under investigations relating to international car stealing syndicate overseas. Listen.
You know that there are two ways to effect an arrest. You can get a warrant to effect the arrest. You can get a search warrant to search somebody. Or a law enforcement official in the shape of a police officer above the rank of a superintendent can arrest you without a warrant if he believes you committed a crime. None of these three principles has been violated in the Wuntumi case. It is not possible. You see, I solidarized with members of the then Mahama former administration who were taken through law enforcement processes. My friend Kudjotu Mbwafo was arrested by IOCO. I went to IOCO to visit him, but I did not create a scene. There was no ruckus over his arrest. I just went to ascertain his welfare together with his lawyer. My brother, the Honorable Atuforsen, who had been the former deputy finance minister, around Christmas in 2022 was the subject of law enforcement activity He was cautioned. He was called, questioned, cautioned. His statement taken and then taken to court. For 2 years, I followed him to court. There are people who have gone through all of that. There are NDC officials who have been convicted. Some of them served prison sentences. Some of them even lost their lives. Soon after that, we have gone through the process. Why is the NPP running away from it? How can you purport to believe in the rule of law and then fail to subject yourself to it and scream your lungs out the moment law enforcement officials lawfully do their work? Show me, where is the violation of Wontumi's right? Again, bail, the Wontumi situation.
Yeah,
what happened?
Can you slap 50
because
million
there have been times, bail there have been times when, number one, what was his bail condition? Was it not a billion Ghana cedis? The Ato ACN case, it was over 200 million Ghana cedis, if I'm not mistaken. Because it was commensurate with the alleged offense. Wontumi is accused of misappropriating tens of millions of Ghana cedis. There is a road that he was given a contract to do on. He claims to have done 50%, but assessments by appropriate officials show that it was around 18%. He is alleged to have taken money from a state institution to do a farm.
Was he fully paid for that road?
He's been paid for the level of work that he says he has done. But law enforcement officials have looked into the matter and found that he didn't do what he says he has done. He is alleged to have taken money from a state entity to engage in some farming activity. He hasn't done it. Part of the money was actually a grant, which was a freebie to him. He still hasn't done it.
The farm?
The farm.
How much is it?
I think it was in the region of $10 million or so. He is alleged, as I speak to you, to be engaged in some overseas stolen car syndication by law enforcement officials.
And was so, bringing it into Ghana?
Yes, that is what that's the allegation.
So that is from, what Yoko is investigating?
So Yoko is looking into it, among other matters. I don't think that anything has been done that valid. You see, so he was arrested. A bail condition was set. You can go to court and seek to vary it.
Well, Henry Nanabuachi is the MPP national organizer. He's a lawyer himself, joins us on the line right now. And Henry, thanks for your time here on Newsnight. Surprised to learn tonight, as far as the former finance minister is concerned, Kenneth Oriata, that he is also wanted by both IOCO and NIB?
Thank you very much, Evans. Evans, sorry to commence my interview with a question. Were you able to ask the Deputy Attorney General as to the status, the update, regarding the journey of extradition with regard to the former Maslow CEO, Ferdinand Tamaklo? Were you able to ask him that question? Hello, Ivan.
Yeah, I'm listening to you. You expect me to answer?
I'm asking whether you were able to ask the Deputy Attorney General whether they have started or whether they are still in the process of triggering the extradition processes regarding Ferdinand Tamaklo.
That wasn't the subject of our conversation, no.
Okay, you see, this is where I find the whole thing disingenuous. We have a competent court making a specific announcement on Ferdinand Tamaklo that she has misappropriated 72 million Ghana cedis. Just when she was being transferred, she sought permission to seek medical attention inside. As we speak, she has not returned. The court has made definite pronouncements, and she's been convicted. So I find it very hypocritical, very disingenuous. But
Henry, this Ferdinand Tamaklo thing is something that was under your watch. Did you file an extradition?
No. I'm saying is that it started, yes, it was under our watch. She sought permission to seek medical attention outside. And she's been convicted. And as we speak, the former Attorney General, just before we exited, Deputy Attorney General hinted that they have started the extradition process to bring her back to the country to face the consequences of her actions.
So if they have filed, if indeed he did so, this is a continuum.
The principle,
so
that, is the principle, no, I'm establishing that, a principle.
That extradition process is already
If you
active.
Find time, ask him again. But this is the principle. The principle is that this is where the laws of the land work to its fullest, its finish of its work. Somebody is supposed to be brought back to the jurisdiction, and the Attorney General will leave that person. Sedidam Tamaklo has been found to misappropriated 72 million. That is not the concern of Simtai. No.
Again, Henry, keeping them honest, this conviction, from what I know, happened in
April 2024. You had
months to trigger the process to ensure that she is repatriated, extradited back to Ghana. You're asking that another government should do it. But if you indeed trigger the process, then that extradition process is active now, is it not? It
goes without saying. Accommodate some of these divergent views. Look, you are now trying to start an extradition process to bring back Kenufureta, who has disclosed his whereabouts, is given the facility. In fact, his lawyers are in direct correspondence with any institution whatsoever. He's not running away from justice. You are rather concentrating on that person, but you have left the lady, Sedinam Tamaklo, who misappropriated 72 million Ghana cedis of our money. He's been convicted, duly convicted by the court. Seems I is not interested in that matter.
I mean, first of all, you're not, we both of us speaking right now don't know what they are doing about Sedinam Tamaklo, because as you asked the question, it wasn't the subject of our conversation. But second, are you suggesting that, even granted that they're not doing that, the state cannot begin extradition processes for Kenufureta to be returned to face questions on his tenure and account for it?
Evans, the principle is that you can even bring Kenufureta. He can choose not to talk. It is within his right. I honestly do not understand this service. I don't understand it. Look, if you think
you don't understand why a state agency is seeking to extradite a former finance minister to return to Ghana to answer questions about investigations that are currently underway. You don't understand why that is needed.
Look, even what I'm trying to say is that if they have enough evidence, they should go to court. From the reports, we have sitting in our books, far in absentia. Go to court. Because even if you are saying...
But they can do both. The OSP has said they will pursue that, but they can also begin the extradition process.
Evans, what I'm saying is that it is not needed. Somebody has been convicted. You are not interested in that. This person, you've not even charged him.
The Sedinam Tamaklo case has no relations with what you are doing currently with the OSP.
Evans, you are being very, very hypocritical. I'm surprised.
He has no relationship with directly about
Kenufureta. It's an important matter. I was even expecting you, Evans. I'm coming. Evans, I was even expecting you to ask him, because we were talking about extradition.
It wasn't a subject of our conversation. We're talking about Kenufureta. Well, that's your view.
You don't want me to talk, then...
No, I'm asking you a question.
I am establishing a principle. What I'm trying to say,
I've heard you. You made the point.
If you had a conversation on extradition, you should have asked him.
It wasn't the subject of our conversation.
It is my view that once you were talking about extradition, and we have had a court making a definite pronouncement on Sedinam Tamaklo,
that is your view.
Convicted.
It's more fundamentally to the subject of that conversation, which is why I called you.
Even what I'm trying to say is that
you've made the point.
Look, Ben Operator,
you are not opposed to what the state is trying to do.
I am not opposed. The reason why I'm saying so is that, look, you can even bring the person. The person can choose not to talk. He can remain silent throughout the interrogation. If you have enough evidence to pin the person down, you go to court. He's not running away from justice. His lawyers and he himself, he's been in direct correspondence with any investigative body. He's indicated his address, the medical facility he's seeking medical assistance from. So what is the issue here? So that is why I'm saying that even the next time you meet him, I ask him, because the court has ruled that Cedric Tamakulu is a criminal.
On Chairman Wuntumi, we've heard from the government spokesperson that a part of the investigation is also involved looking into an alleged syndicate that he may be involved in when it comes to stealing of cars. How is he? And is he still cooperating with the IOCO and still attending to IOCO's investigations as and when he's needed?
Evan, the journalist also say that he's also been investigated for some facility he secured from state institution. Did you hear that?
Yeah, he mentioned a host of facilities that he had secured that he says a project have not been executed.
Evan, since when did a contractual obligation in securing a facility from the bank, since when did that constitute a criminal offense? Look, we are in this country. Do not forget that UMB mentioned that the president's brother, Ibrahim Muhammad, is on record. He was owing 40 something million. Who arrested him? Who arrested him? I'm surprised how government's conspiracy and impugn criminality on a contractual relationship between Wuntumi and a bank. How is that a criminal offense?
And that is what is being investigated. Nana Bacha, thank you very much. He's the national organizer of the NPP. So listen to Newsnight on Joy 99.7 FM. Now, to more action by state agencies, particularly the Special Prosecutor's Office, the Strategic Mobilization Ghana Limited, SML, they've strongly condemned the recent raid on its offices by the Office of the Special Prosecutor and accused the officers who executed that particular raid of assaulting its staff. Now, SML has described the operation as unjustified and without a warrant. My colleague, Papania Shali, was there for us yesterday, joins us in the studio with more. Yesterday, we know three directors were picked up. We are now told that the number could be higher. What else do we know?
Let's start with the number of people that were arrested. It says that four employees in a statement that they released were arrested. We also told that they were all released on bail. Also, they add that two of their staff were assaulted in the process of the raid. The operation resulted in a removal of damage of servers and IT infrastructure, technical equipment, including gold analyzers, which were yet to be released, they tell us, files and proprietary documents, including trade-sensitive systems. The company now also says that many of these items form the backbone of their ongoing service to the Ghana Revenue Authority, GRA, particularly in real-time petroleum monitoring and transaction audits, Evans.
So that is the very latest. But what's your concern with how that raid was conducted?
Well, in the statement, they talk about how this raid was done. In some of the conversations we've had, they tell us that when some of these people came in, there were instances where people were asked for passwords to some of their servers, and those who were not forthcoming with it, some of them were physically assaulted. And again, they were used force to retrieve some of their drives and also put some of their servers offline. They've raised concerns, especially about the revenue that this may cost, not just to the company, but also to the state, which is GRA. And it says that the company says that based on the transactions they have done since they came online until now, we may possibly be losing 348 million Ghana cedis every month if their systems don't come back online, Evans.
Mm. Let's speak to the spokesperson for SML as she joins us on the line, Sewa Sapon. Sewa, thanks for your time here on Newsnight and joins us on Zoom. The OSP was very clear to us when we checked that they indeed had a warrant. You were not shown that warrant. Hello, Sewa. Okay, we don't seem to have her attention. We will get that for you to get clarity on the accusations that they've made against the OSP following that raid on their offices. I want to hear from you, 055-1111-997. And George Jaffe is joining me with Business Now. George, what do you have in the headlines?
Well, Evans, coming up in business, Fiscal Service describes first quarter growth estimates as signs that the economy is recovering, but downplays the impact of current global tariff war on the country. And Bank of Ghana warns public against dealing with unlicensed digital platforms, Yellow Card and Honey Pay. You're welcome back to Business on Newsnight. Now, activities in the agric sector for the first quarter of this year picked up strongly. This, which is the first time in a long while, helped the economy grow by 5.3% from January to March this year. There is more in this report.
The Ghana Statistical Service data showed that the agri sector recorded the highest growth of 6.6% for the first quarter of this year. This is the highest expansion compared to other sectors like services and industry. Some of the areas that will be of interest when it comes to agri sector's expansion was cocoa, which for the first time in recent times grew by 3.4%, followed by the fishing subsector, which also grew by more than 16%. It was followed by the services sector, which contributed about half of the growth for the first 3 months of this year. However, the same cannot be said for industry. The sector slowed to 3.4%, influenced by little activities in the oil and gas sectors of the economy. In terms of shares, the economy is still dominated by the services sector, commanding about 46.8% of the economy. It was followed by the industry sector with 29.7%. The agri sector, on the other hand, only accounted for 23.5% in terms of its share of the economy. The first quarter GDP estimate also revealed that the economy may have even expanded by more than 6% if you take away the oil sector's contribution. A development some industry watchers say may indicate that the economy is really doing well. But despite the challenges with the industry sector, the manufacturing subsector expanded by more than 6% for the first 3 months of this year.
And that is a Business Desk report. Meanwhile, government statistician Dr. Alhassan Idrisu has indicated that the first quarter growth numbers show that the economy is recovering. He's also revealed that the numbers show that the current growth numbers have not been impacted by the current global tariff war.
If you look at GDP projection for 2025, I think the budget, Ministry of Finance projected about 4% for 2025 for GDP for this year. Now, first quarter has posted 5.3%. So what this means is that all other things being equal, if things are to go the way we've seen in the first quarter, government of Ghana is on course to achieving its growth target. In fact, if you look at other jurisdictions, IMF, World Bank, you know, they are all projecting GDP around the 4%. Some are slightly above the 4%.
Government statistician Dr. Hassan Idrisu, let's still stay on the sector because economist Professor Peter Korte has described the performance of the agri sector as surprising.
Dig a bit, you realize that the crops also did quite well, but quite surprising, food prices still remain high despite the growth in crops production. So it means we need to investigate what is causing this high food prices on the market. Is it transportation or what exactly is the cause? And I think that's where we need to deep dive into and unearth some of these issues. Then we also find fishing growing by over 16%. Did a close season help? Or, you know, that's also quite an interesting area to look into.
And that is economist Professor Peter Korte. Now, the Bank of Ghana is warning the public against dealing with online digital platform that is Yellow Card and Honey Pay. Now, this was captured in a statement issued by the central bank earlier today. There is more in this report.
The Bank of Ghana, in a statement, maintained it had to issue this notice because Yellow Card Financial Incorporated, operators of Yellow Pay platform, which has been actively promoting itself as a provider of payment services and cross-border remittance solutions, has not been licensed by the central bank. It again revealed in the notice that the same Yellow Card Financial Incorporated is said to have entered into collaboration with HoneyPay to develop and integrate a new stablecoin, AKL Lumi, into the global financial ecosystem. The Bank of Ghana argues that HoneyPay has also not been given any approval to operate within the Ghanaian jurisdiction, hence anything from them should be seen as illegal. The central bank is therefore warning the public financial institutions and all relevant stakeholders to desist from any engagement with Yellow Card Financial Incorporated and HoneyPay Ghana. This is because all these institutions don't have approval to operate in the country.
And that is a Business Desk report. Now, Collateral Registry of the Bank of Ghana has revealed that it has registered over 330,000 collateral interest in 2024. Now, this brings the total registration to over 1.5 million since its inception in 2010. Now, speaking of the launch of the 15th anniversary of the registrar, Fred Siama Corantin said they are expanding their operations to cover rural economies.
Overall, as at the end of 2024, the registry had registered over 1.4 million security interests with an average growth rate of 31.5%. Indeed, the registry registers approximately 9,000 security interests every week. This is not just a statistic. It is a story of empowerment, of economic opportunity, and of a better future. The registry, having grown from an emerging outfit to a cornerstone of Ghana's credit infrastructure, has significantly contributed to the creation of an enabling environment for countless micro, small, and medium-sized enterprises to access credit that was once beyond their reach.
Now, Fred Siama Corantin is the registrar of the Collateral Registry at the Bank of Ghana. Now, the acting chief executive of the National Petroleum Authority, Gordon Edidi Tamaklo, says plans are underway to repeal the current act regulating the petroleum sector. Speaking at the 2025 Safety Week celebration hosted by the Chamber of Oil Marketing Companies, he explained that the new legal framework will be more progressive and better positioned to support the sector's growth.
Our regulatory agenda for the industry includes, we want to repeal the current act, which is almost 20 years. And we always say that the industry is always ahead of the regulator. So after 20 years of enactment, we need to sit down quietly and try and see if we can tweak the current MPA act and see if we can make it a bit more progressive to meet the needs of our people 20 years down the line.
Gordon Edidi Tamaklo is the acting chief executive of the National Petroleum Authority. Let's turn our attention to the stock market. And if you're a shareholder of MTN, the value of share that you're holding today was up by 2 pesos and is now worth 2 Ghana cedis 85 pesos. That was at the end of trading on the Ghana Stock Exchange. If you've also invested on the Ghana Stock Exchange, returns now stands at more than 24%. That's still better than other investment instruments currently on the market. And that's all for Business on Newsnight.
George, thank you very much. Still live here on Newsnight on Joy 99.7 FM. I will be sharing your thoughts with the rest of the world pretty shortly. 055-1111-997. Let's return to our earlier story about the OSB's raid on the offices of SML. The company has issued a statement claiming that the OSB did this without a warrant and that some of its staff were assaulted. A director of support services at the Strategic Mobilization Ghana Limited, Sewa Sapon, is on Zoom with us. Thank you, Sewa, for your time here on Newsnight. We lost you earlier. But quickly, on the subject of the warrant, the OSB is very clear that this was carried out and it was an execution of a set warrant. They had one. You were not shown a copy.
Good evening to you, Evans. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Yes, good evening to you and to your cherished listeners. So we want to place on record that we didn't see any warrant or be served to our staff in any meaningful way or verifiable way during the raid. In Osu, when they went there, they said they had a court order. When our officer there asked them, you want to search this place, what do you have? They said they have a court order. Give it to us, and the person walks away. In Tema, when they went there, our officer that they met said they pointed something to her, not something that they allowed her to read or verify in any way or even take a copy. So we don't have a retained copy of the search document that they claim they have, which is the warrant that was obtained way back in April. We don't know which year, 30th April. And this undermines procedure integrity of the operation that went on yesterday in our place.
I mean, the OSP had told us and confirmed to us that indeed had a warrant duly issued to them by a court of competent jurisdiction. They are laid on processes for seeking redress. Have you triggered any? Because you have legal rights here.
We don't have any warrant. We don't have a copy of any warrant. We don't know the content of the warrant. We don't have any.
Are you seeking redress formally through your lawyers?
Oh yes, we are on the table. We are consulting. We are preparing ourselves to go to court.
You've also said that some of your staff members were assaulted.
Yes.
How exactly did this happen?
Yes. So in Osu, they didn't assault them, but in Tema, the force that was used there is traumatic. When they asked the field officers, give us access to the server room. The server room is a security zone, it's locked. A field officer don't have access to a server room. They don't have password to the server room. So they broke the server room, the door to the server room, which is a security door, and then asked them, give us the password. You are hiding the password away from us. Give us the password. Others, when they saw military men, they were traumatized. They were trying to, their personal computers that they have brought to work, they were trying to put it in their desk. And they went through the CCTV camera. And then they slapped them. Those who they are requesting from, they are requesting password from them. They are using the guns to slap them. And
you have verified these claims?
When they still didn't have, because they don't have the password, this is what they did. They handcuffed them, make them to sit under the sun on the pavement, on the compound.
I'm asking if you verify the claim that they were slapped.
We've captured some. The CCTV also has some.
And you've seen evidence.
CCTV,
yeah, you do.
Yes.
I know you do. You've seen evidence of your staff being slapped.
Yes, because it's captured on camera. These actions, as much as we could, you know, because they asked everybody to put their phones down. There is no phone. There is no. It's just an overwhelming exertion of force and aggression to people who have been corresponding to a company. Look, Evans, OSP wrote to us on the 13th of March requesting for documents and information. That was a list, a lot of items that we were asking. So as we were preparing ourselves, we asked our legal team to write to them to let them know that we are still preparing. So we will bring it. They wrote to them on the 20th of March to tell them that our clients are preparing. They will bring this, they've told us to let you know, they'll bring it on 27th. And 27th, we sent the documents to them. We further told them that if you need any further explanation, if you need anything from us, let us know. We are willing to cooperate and help, because SML, we have nothing to hide. So we are waiting for any further explanation or further information that we should add to the investigation to support what they are doing.
So you said proceed, go on.
Yes, only for us to hear, to see them bring a joint force operative, security operatives to our facilities, both in Tema and Osu, traumatizing young staff who have come to work doing their jobs.
For clarity, OSP wrote to you on the 13th of March asking for... 13th of March, correct?
They're
asking for you to provide some information to them.
Yes.
Did you provide everything they asked for?
We provided information that we have, you know, contractual obligation to.
So you did not provide everything they asked for?
No, there are some of them that is not in our jurisdiction. We don't have them. So we told them the ones that we have, we've given you. And the ones that we don't have, you can go to this place, to GRA or Ministry of Finance, because we work under them. They employed us for them. So we gave every information that is within our contractual obligation to OSP. If there was need for any extra information, we have indicated in the letter that accompanied the documents to say that, let us know. We will give you every information that you need.
Since yesterday, have you been told formally what the OSP and the team that came there were looking for?
No. We don't know what they are looking for, but by all indication, that was a destructive operation to impact our operation, to stop us from operating, because they've taken all the servers that are running or housing, you know, national data for revenue.
Well, with a warrant, they can do that.
Have you not seen the videos?
Well, if they have a warrant, they can search and seize.
If they have a warrant, they can.
And OSP says
we don't know what the warrant entails.
And very quickly, just before we wrap up, do you plan to take any further action?
Oh yes.
What action?
Evans, why not? Because you know the SML systems, government has not paid a single dollar into our operations. The systems and everything that we developed is by us. We invest in it. The contract that we have with GRE is a risk and reward-based contract, which means that SML bears all the costs, including providing facilities, everything. What the government does, which is GRE does, is to give us our pay, the salary for the month. Just as every worker, when you work and in the month, you are paid for your salary. So if there is an issue, if you think that there is a contractual breach, there is anything that you have an issue with, you don't come and take private property.
So what action
these
do you plan to take then?
Intellectual properties that he has taken away and exposing them to IP theft.
What action do you
plan
to take then?
And exploitation. We are going to court. That is the only way for OSP to explain to us what is in his warrant. What is he looking for that we couldn't give to him if he has used the right procedure to do that, rather than to pounce on us as if we are criminals?
I'm grateful. That there is a director of support services at the Strategic Mobilization Ghana Limited, Sewa Sapon. Let's look sports now. Ms. Bowers here with the latest.
Yeah, Evans. Well, we're just some 4 days away from two major events. One in Ghana is the MTN FA Cup final between Golden Kicks and Kumasi Asante Kotoko. Kotoko finished the Ghana Premier League season in third place and are very much hoping to play in Africa, and they will be looking to do that through the FA Cup route, where they will get to represent Ghana in the CAF Confederations Cup. But they will first have to defeat Golden Kicks, a Division 1 side who have been very good this season, the FA Cup. In fact, they defeated Hartlepool in the lead-up to the final. Well, their chief executive officer, Joseph Epton, has been speaking about his team's chances. He's very confident about defeating Kotoko, however, skeptical if they can go on to represent Ghana in Africa.
Nothing would be too special than to win the FA Cup in style, and then you're able to beat Kotoko and Hansa from the two biggest clubs in Ghana. I mean, it's a big history I ever make. So that's what we're focusing on. And then we know on Sunday, Ebeso Kotoko. That is for sure. Ebeso. Most of the clubs, we cannot go to Africa, and it's about finances. But we have to play. So for us, it's first to win the cup, which is the objective. And then we'll look at how to get sponsorship to go and play in Africa.
That's the CEO of Golden Kicks, Joseph Epton. And as I mentioned, on Sunday also is the commencement of the Club World Cup. And that's going to see some 32 club teams playing in the USA for very, very good money. Good money, almost 1 billion total prize money there for all the clubs. So Evans will be keeping taps on that tournament. We understand Chelsea already on the way to the USA. Bayern Munich, Inter Milan have all arrived, but notably Manchester United, Liverpool, Barcelona are not in the tournament. And of course,
how do they select the teams?
Well, there's a whole criteria which, among other things, you look at the coefficient of the team's performance, coefficient based on their performance of the Champions League in the last, understand, 7 to 10 years. And based on that, teams like Liverpool and Manchester United in the Champions League in that period haven't done well. So, you know, and also the past winners of the Champions League in recent time, that's why Chelsea got there, because they won the Champions League recently. So yeah, so it's going to be a four, just like a World Cup, will be played every 4 years. So hopefully in the next 4 years Man United will be there. We'll see.
Thank you very much. Now, after 34 years of mastering his craft at Kumasi Technical Institute, Muktal Seydou has embarked on a mission to design and manufacture eco-friendly gas stoves, roasters and boilers tailored specifically for Ghanaian households. Journalist News' Mohammed Nuruddin visited his engineering shop at Kumasi Magazine and now reports for Climate Focus.
Meet Muktal Seydou, a Ghanaian fabricator on a mission to reduce air pollution. Muktal believes that collective action can spark transformative change.
In a month, our team is able to manufacture about 500 stoves given our current workforce. Interestingly, we often receive customers who purchase these stoves as soon as we complete production. As you can see, our efforts are not only beneficial to individuals, but also contribute positively to the country. Looking ahead, I firmly believe that within a decade, we can significantly reduce the country's reliance on firewood, thereby promoting a more sustainable and environmentally friendly practice.
According to studies, charcoal and firewood contribute to emissions, particularly in developing countries, but there is a cleaner alternative. Muktal says his products are durable, cost-effective, and produce less emissions.
If we continue to refine our manufacturing process, I'm confident that our product will attract an even larger customer base.
Climate Focus is brought to you by Joy News in partnership with Youth Bridge Foundation, bridging gaps for positive youth development, and the Climate Development Knowledge Network.
Well, authorities have arrested 9 individuals, including students and invigilators, for allegedly engaging in examination malpractices during the first day of the Basic Education Certificate Examination, BECE. The suspects were reportedly caught cheating or aiding in practices at various examination centres. The head of public affairs at WAEC, John Kapi, says the incident occurred in Greater Accra, Bono East regions.
Right. So far, we have received a report of about 9 persons who have been handed over to the law enforcement agencies. Some of them were supervisors. One was a supervisor. We had about 6 invigilators and 3 people who were not directly related to the examination, but who found themselves, trying to assist the candidates in a way. So we had one in the Greater Accra region. We had one in the Ahafo region. And then we had 3 in Bono region, and I think 5 from Bono East. Okay, yes, we have heard about, but usually would depend on our personnel to send us formal reports of these pregnancy issues. Mm. But so far, we haven't received any of those formal reports yet, so we are unable to report how many of them. But yes, there are a number of them who are pregnant, so we've heard.
John Kapi speaks for the West African Examination Council. And just before we go, Speaker of Parliament Alban Bagbin has ruled out referring MP for Ifeanyi Sokori and ranking member on the Health Committee, Dr. Nana Eyu Afriye, to Parliament's Privileges Committee. Now, this decision follows a clash between Dr. Eyu Afriye and First Deputy Speaker Bernard Ahiafo on Tuesday. The incident occurred when Dr. Eyu Afriye was denied the opportunity to make an urgent statement on the ongoing nurses' strike. The minority caucus expressed strong objections, leading to chaos on the floor of Parliament. Now, despite the tensions, the Speaker has opted not to escalate the matter to the Privileges Committee. And that's it for News Night. Tonight, you can catch all the stories on myjoyonline.com, also across our many social media platforms, including What's Up Next. Strong and Sassy. He's live on